I want you to imagine something for a second. Imagine you're standing in the middle of this massive, just infinitely vast mountain range.
Okay.
And it is completely pitch black. Like, you are totally blindfolded. And your one and only goal in this scenario is to find the absolute lowest point, the deepest valley in that entire dark landscape.
Sounds pretty stressful.
Right. But here's the real catch. You're not in a normal, you know, three-dimensional world. This mountain range has hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dimensions.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only thing you have to guide you is the physical feeling of the ground directly beneath your feet. So how do you actually find your way to the bottom?
I mean, it sounds like a terrifying, surreal camping trip, honestly.
It really does.
But what you just described is actually the exact scenario playing out inside a computer whenever we train an artificial intelligence. That unimaginably complex, dark landscape is the literal reality of navigating high-dimensional spaces.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that is the exact mission of our deep dive today. We're looking at a stack of incredibly fascinating sources that break down the mathematical engine driving modern machine learning.
Right, the optimization process.
Exactly. I mean, we hear all this hype, right, about AI learning to write or code or drive cars. But today, we are stripping away all that magic. We're getting into the actual nuts and bolts of optimization.
This is so important.
It is. We want to understand how calculus and gradient descent take us from abstract math theories to highly practical tools that developers are using every day, like PyTorch and TensorFlow.
Yeah, because learning, at least in the context of machine learning, isn't some mystical cognitive process. It is, at its core, just a search mission.
A search mission in the dark.
Exactly. In machine learning, that dark, multidimensional mountain range you described,
yeah,
that is what we call a loss function.
Okay.
It's often written out mathematically as a script L with a theta inside, L of theta. And the loss is simply a measure of how wrong the AI's predictions are.
So higher up on the mountain means more mistakes.
Right. The higher you are, the worse the AI is performing.
So we obviously want to get down to the absolute bottom. We want to find the parameters, the theta in that equation, that minimize that loss function.
Yep.
But since we're blindfolded and the AI can't just, you know, look at a map of a billion-dimensional mountain range, we need a reliable way to know which direction is downhill.
And that is where we rely on calculus. Specifically, the first derivative, or since we're in multiple dimensions, we call it the gradient.
The gradient, okay.
The gradient of a function essentially tells you the slope of the ground at the exact point where you are standing.
Right, like under your feet.
Exactly. And mathematically, it computes the steepest path upward. So if you want to go downhill, you just simply move in the exact opposite direction of the gradient.
Okay, so think of a landscape that rolls into a valley and then up into a hill. Calculus lets us find the exact spots where that rolling ground levels out.
Exactly.
Because setting the derivative to zero gives us our critical points, right? Like places where the tangent line is completely horizontal, the slope is exactly zero.
And finding those critical points is really the first major clue in our search mission. If the slope is zero, the ground is flat. We've stopped descending.
Like walking downhill blindfolded. When your feet finally feel flat ground, you know you're not going down anymore.
Right.
But wait, a zero slope just means flat ground. If I'm blindfolded and my feet hit a flat patch, I could be at the bottom of the valley, sure. But
it could also be somewhere else entirely.
Yeah. I could be standing on a flat plateau right before dropping off a cliff or, I don't know, balancing at the very top of a peak. Setting the derivative to zero gives us a list of flat spots, but it doesn't tell us what kind of flat ground we're standing on.
No, it doesn't.
So we clearly need a way to measure the actual curvature of the ground, not just the slope.
And what's fascinating here is that calculus gives us a way to measure exactly that. It measures how the slope itself is changing.
Using the second derivative, right?
Exactly. If the first derivative is your velocity, the second derivative is your acceleration. It tells you the curvature of the actual landscape.
Okay, so we use the second derivative test to kind of categorize our flat spots.
Right.
If the second derivative is positive, it means the graph is curving upward. The slope was negative. It hit zero at our flat spot, and now it's becoming positive. So visually, a positive second derivative forms like a mathematical smile.
That's a great way to picture it. Mm. And that mathematical smile is a local minimum. It's a valley.
Okay.
Conversely, if the second derivative is negative, the graph is curving downward. It forms a frown. That indicates a local maximum or a peak. And you obviously want to avoid those.
Right, because we want the lowest error, not the highest.
Yeah.
Let's step back into our blindfolded mountain range analogy for a second. Finding a valley is great. But in a landscape with billions of dimensions, there are thousands, maybe millions of valleys. And we usually hear that the ultimate goal of optimization is to find the global minimum, like the absolute lowest point in the entire world.
Which raises a really important question, actually. And it requires us to distinguish between theoretical optimization and practical machine learning.
How so?
Well, there are certain types of landscapes where finding the global minimum is really easy. We call these convex functions.
Convex. Okay, what does that look like?
Visually, a convex function looks like one giant smooth bowl. If curvature is positive everywhere. So if you find the bottom of that bowl, you have found the absolute lowest point, period.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, older models, like simple logistic regression, they have convex loss functions.
Yes, but the massive deep neural networks we use today, like for language models and image processing, those are definitely not simple smooth bowls.
Oh, far from it. The loss landscapes of modern deep neural networks are highly non-convex.
Okay.
They're these unimaginably chaotic spaces riddled with sheer cliffs, countless local minima, and most importantly, saddle points.
Saddle points? Those are incredibly counterintuitive, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
It's a flat spot that curves up in one direction, but curves down in another, literally like the saddle on a horse.
Exactly. And in high-dimensional spaces, saddle points are actually a much bigger problem than local minima.
Really? Why is that?
Think about it statistically. For a flat spot to be a true local minimum in a billion-dimensional space, the ground has to be curving upward in every single one of those billion directions.
Oh, wow.
Right. It's like flipping a coin a billion times and getting heads every single time. It is highly, highly improbable.
Okay, so most of the flat spots our AI stumbles into aren't actually valleys at all.
No.
They're just saddle points where the AI gets temporarily stuck before finding some dimension that slopes downward again.
Exactly.
But wait, that brings me back to my earlier point. If we are trying to optimize the AI, shouldn't we demand it finds the absolute global minimum? Like, if we don't find the absolute bottom, isn't the AI technically failing to be as accurate as possible?
It's a really intuitive objection, I'll give you that. But here is where the math collides with the reality of artificial intelligence. Reaching the absolute global minimum isn't expected. And honestly, it's highly undesirable in modern deep learning.
Undesirable? Wait, why would we not want the lowest possible error?
Because of a concept called generalization.
Okay.
If you force a massive neural network all the way down into the absolute deepest, narrowest crevice of the loss landscape, it has essentially memorized the training data perfectly. Its loss is basically zero.
Which sounds good, right?
It sounds good until you try to use it. The moment you show it new data that it has never seen before in the real world, it fails entirely. That narrow crevice doesn't apply to the broader reality. This is what we call overfitting.
Ah, overfitting. So we don't want a narrow crevice. I know the sources mentioned something specific here called a flat minima.
Yes. A flat minimum is a valley where the second derivative, that curvature we talked about, is relatively small. The valley is wide, gentle, and forgiving.
Like a broad basin.
Exactly. And finding a wide, flat valley usually corresponds to a simpler, more robust set of parameters.
Because if the new data shifts your position slightly on the landscape, you're still basically at the bottom of that wide valley, right?
Right.
Your error doesn't suddenly spike. But if you are in a sharp, needle-like global minimum, even a microscopic shift in the data would place you high up on the wall of the cliff.
And your AI would confidently give you a terrible prediction.
Yikes.
Yeah. We actually see this practically in a phenomenon sometimes called grokking.
Grokking.
Yeah, it's where networks suddenly learn to generalize. Well, after seemingly just meandering in the landscape for a while, they bounce out of the sharp bad valleys and eventually settle into these wide, flat basins where the fundamental underlying patterns actually reside.
So what does this all mean for us? It means we don't need a map to the center of the Earth. We just need to reliably find a good, flat, gentle valley. But that brings us back to the physical reality of the blindfolded walk. We know what we're looking for now. But since we don't have a bird's eye view, and computing the actual curvature of a billion directions at every single step is, I assume, computationally impossible.
Totally impossible.
Right. So how do we systematically take a step downhill without, you know, falling off a cliff?
We use a brilliant mathematical shortcut called the first-order Taylor approximation.
Okay, that sounds intense.
It sounds intense, but it's essentially just a way to safely predict our next step using basic linear math.
The sources use a really great analogy of estimating square roots with straight lines, which is essentially what this approximation does, right?
Yeah.
You draw a straight tangent line at your current position, and you just pretend the complex curved landscape simply follows that straight line.
You're linearizing the space, yeah. As long as your step is tiny, you can trust that linear prediction to move you downhill.
Okay, let me make sure I've got this. Let's walk through that square root example from the sources.
Let's do it.
So say we want to estimate the square root of 4.1. Our function is f of x equals the square root of x.
Right. And we start at a known point. We know the square root of 4 is exactly 2. So our starting point is 4.
And our step size, our delta, is 0.1.
Exactly. Now we need the slope, the derivative. The derivative of the square root of x is 1 over 2 times the square root of x.
Okay, so at our starting point of 4, that's 1 over 2 times 2, which is 1 over 4, or 0.25.
Perfect. So the Taylor approximation says, take your starting value, which is 2, and add your slope times your step.
Which is 0.25 times 0.1, that's 0.025.
Add them up.
So the estimate is 2.025.
Yep. And if you punch the square root of 4.1 into a calculator, the actual value is 2.0248.
The error is incredibly tiny. It's like, what, 0.00002? That's amazing.
It's an elegant workaround.
Yeah.
You just take your current position, calculate the slope, and step slightly in the opposite direction.
We cheat by drawing a straight line so we don't have to calculate the insane curvature of the entire model. But wait, that introduces a massive vulnerability, doesn't it? Well, if the landscape is actually curving wildly, and we are just pretending it's a straight line, our straight line could march the AI right off a cliff if we step too far.
And that right there is the fundamental tension of machine learning optimization.
Okay.
The Taylor approximation only holds true in a microscopic neighborhood around your current position. To guarantee we actually decrease our loss, we have to ensure our step size is small enough that the straight line doesn't diverge too much from the actual curved ground.
So mathematically, the update rule becomes this. You take your current position and you subtract the slope multiplied by a small variable.
Yes. We call that small variable eta, or the learning rate. So your new position is your old position minus the learning rate times the gradient.
Okay, and this is gradient descent.
Yes, it is. It's the core algorithm running underneath nearly every modern AI model. You compute the gradient vector to find the steepest path up, and you multiply it by a negative learning rate to take a small step down.
But that learning rate, that eta variable, that feels like a massive Goldilocks problem.
Oh, it absolutely is. The learning rate essentially controls your step size. If you make it too large, the linear approximation completely breaks down.
Because you take a massive leap thinking the ground goes straight down forever.
Right, and you overshoot the valley entirely. You might land on a point where the error is actually higher than where you started.
But if you make it too small, you're taking like millimeter steps down Mount Everest.
Exactly. The progress is glacially slow. Your AI will take months to learn a basic pattern, and computing power isn't cheap. You need a learning rate that is just right.
Which is really hard to guess blindfolded.
Which is why, if we connect this to the bigger picture, no one uses basic static gradient descent anymore. Modern machine learning relies on adaptive optimizers. You'll hear data scientists talk about algorithms like ADAM or RMS prop.
ADAM. Right. How do those actually solve the blindfolded walker problem differently?
They dynamically adjust that eta variable, the learning rate, on the fly for every single parameter individually. ADAM, for example, keeps a running average of past gradients.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, think of it like physical momentum. If the slope keeps pointing in the exact same direction step after step, ADAM recognizes the consistency and accelerates. It starts taking larger steps.
So it realizes, hey, we've been going down a smooth hill for a while. It's safe to run.
Exactly. But if the slope starts oscillating wildly, like positive, then negative, then positive ADAM hits the brakes. It recognizes the landscape is jagged and treacherous, so it dynamically shrinks the learning rate to take careful, tiny steps.
It adapts to the topography in real time. That's so clever.
It is.
And we should also mention that the landscape itself isn't perfectly static, right? Because we don't calculate the slope using the entire data set at once. We use batches of data, stochastic gradient descent.
Right. The stochastic part simply means random. Because we use random subsets of data for each step, our calculation of the downhill slope is slightly noisy. It's like our blindfolded walker is slightly drunk.
They stumble a bit.
Yeah, they stumble.
But from what I understand, that noise is actually a feature, not a bug. That stumbling helps bounce the walker out of shallow, bad valleys or off of those tricky saddle points we talked about. The noise of the batches prevents the AI from getting permanently trapped in a poor local minimum.
The combination of adaptive optimizers like ADAM and the noise of stochastic batching is really what allows these massive models to navigate billion-dimensional spaces efficiently.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. We've been talking about gradients, vectors, Taylor approximations, and multidimensional topology, all this high-level math.
Yeah.
But out in the real world, this immense mathematical complexity all boils down to just a few lines of code that developers type into their laptops.
That's the beauty of it. When you use frameworks like PyTorch or TensorFlow, you were literally just orchestrating this exact mathematical theory.
Okay.
The training loop computes the derivative, takes a step in the negative gradient direction using an optimizer like Atom, and repeats over and over.
The sources highlight a really specific kind of notorious quirk in PyTorch that perfectly bridges this abstract math and the actual code. It's the zero grad function.
Oh, yes.
Anyone who has ever played around with PyTorch knows you have to call optimizer.zerograd on every single step of your loop. And if you forget it, your model completely falls apart.
It is a total rite of passage for every machine learning engineer to forget it at least once and spend hours debugging.
Guilty.
But the reason it exists is mathematically critical. PyTorch uses an automatic differentiation engine called AutoGrad. And by design, AutoGrad accumulates gradients.
It adds them up. So if you don't explicitly clear them out with that zerograd command,
then every new step's gradient mathematically piles on top of the previous one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You are no longer taking a step based on the slope of where you are standing right now. You are taking a step based on the sum of every slope you have ever stood on since the training began.
Which completely destroys the gradient descent update rule. We just established that the Taylor approximation only works if we look at our immediate local surroundings.
Exactly.
If you sum up the slopes of the last 1,000 steps, your trajectory vector is just pointing out into deep space.
You'd be asking the AI to take a massive leap based on outdated topographical information. ZeroGrad isn't just a quirky syntax requirement. It's the mechanism that forces the AI to stay present.
It wipes the slate clean, so the optimizer only looks at the local slope right under its feet at that exact moment.
Yes. It grounds the code in the fundamental calculus we've been exploring. The derivative must be local to be useful.
I just love that framing. It turns an annoying programming chore into a critical mathematical reset button. Hmm? It's really the only thing preventing the AI from combining all its past directional steps into one massive catastrophic leap off a cliff.
It really is.
We have covered an immense amount of ground today.
No pun intended.
Right. We started with the idea of a blindfolded walker in a pitch black billion-dimensional mountain range. We saw how the gradient, the first derivative, points us downhill.
Yep.
We explored how the second derivative measures curvature, revealing the massive wide basins, those flat minima, that allow an AI to actually generalize to new data instead of just memorizing the training set.
And we looked at the inherent vulnerabilities of linearizing a curved space with the Taylor approximation.
Right.
And how adaptive optimizers like Atom use momentum to intelligently manage the learning rate, slowing down on jagged cliffs and speeding up on smooth slopes.
And finally, we saw how all of this theory is hard-coded into practical tools like PyTorch, where a simple zerograd command prevents the math from just collapsing in on itself.
I think the biggest takeaway here is really to demystify the technology.
Totally.
Whenever you hear about massive AI breakthroughs, you know, language models writing code, or algorithms predicting protein structures underneath all the hype and the massive server farms, it is simply a computer doing gradient descent. It's just taking mathematically calculated steps down a high-dimensional hill looking for a flat, stable valley.
It really is that mechanical at its core, and it leaves me with a thought I can't quite shake.
What's that?
Well, if taking small, cautious steps based solely on your immediate local surroundings and actively forgetting your past trajectories so you don't overcorrect, if that is the single most efficient way for an artificial intelligence to navigate an unimaginably complex landscape, makes you wonder if that's the best way for human beings to navigate complex, uncertain problems, too. Maybe we don't need a perfect map of the whole mountain range before we start moving. We just need to figure out which way is downhill right now and take one small step.